And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and Dr. June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Hello and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry with Dr. T. I'm one of your co-hosts. We have with us Pastor Howard, who is going to do a part two on Holy Spirit gifts. Last week he did part one, and if you have missed it, that and also the whole teaching on the Holy Spirit, which is a six-part series, can be found on our website at www.truthtowellness.com. So that is www.truthtowellness.com. Truth to Wellness has no numbers and no spaces. You also will have other program elements there. We talked about scientific evidence for the Word. We talked about Moses, medicine, and even Panin and their discoveries that support the Bible. And we have also a multi-part series on grace and legalism. So I encourage you to go to our website and take a look at those other programs. Now, this today is a part two that Pastor Howard is going to do on Holy Spirit gifts. And then we will have a part three in the upcoming program. Before we get started with that, I'm going to just play some music for us to get us thinking and worshiping God. And then we will listen to Pastor Howard.
I have no needs. You lead me by peaceful streams, and you refresh my life. You hold my hand and you guide my steps. I could walk through the valley of death, and I won't be because you are in control. You are in control. Yes, Lord, you are in control. You
streams, and you refresh my life.
I think there is definitely something about worship and music that just gets me all ready to listen to the word. And here we are. We have now Pastor Howard on Holy Spirit Gifts, part two. Pastor Howard, go ahead.
So we're going to look now at the power gifts, spiritual gifts, the power gifts, faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing. They supernaturally do something. The gifts of power are the vehicle that God uses to channel his supernatural power through his church to destroy the works of the devil. Gifts of healing, working of miracles, special faith. Here's another of my favorite Bible verses, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What a wonderful verse. May we embrace that. How God anointed George from England, or God anointed Fred from America with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Our Lord came to destroy the works of the devil, and I believe it's certainly God's plan and intention that this same power be reproduced through his church. In effect, a continuation of Christ's ministry. It's important to stress here, however, that these gifts are not to make you or I important. We've already said that the gifts are primarily for the edifying of the body. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, "When the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." The exception to that rule seems to be tongues, which are for personal edification. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Unless, of course, it's a public tongue, which must be interpreted. So spiritual gifts, God's equipping to get the job done. We're to seek earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Spurgeon said, whether we like it or not, the rule of the kingdom is asking. I like that. Whether we like it or not, the rule of the kingdom is asking. Gifts are expressly given in order to benefit the body. A gift is for giving away, for passing on. Acts 3:2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look on us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have. What I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Peter had received something. Now he's going to bless in the giving, in the using of the gifts. I always smile at this. He asked for alms and got legs. I think that's wonderful. Gifts are not given for self-projection or to magnify self. No. We must always keep before us that spiritual gifts are for the work of the ministry. Each of us growing, developing, desiring, striving in love to serve one another in the power of the Holy Spirit, not just for a privileged few. Who then? Those who believe. Mark 16:17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Let's move on now and look at the gifts of healing. We can say from Scripture that the supernatural impartation of God's healing power through his church, through you and I, through anointed ministers, is for all kinds of sickness. Throughout church history, God has manifested his power to heal. Many documented recordings, even through the Dark Ages, of people being healed through the power of the prayer of the saints. John Wesley travelled thousands of miles by horseback in the great revival that swept Britain in the 1700s. Every little village and hamlet had a Methodist church. He even prayed over his horse. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all have sinned." Death is the result of the fall, the result of sin. Death is sickness matured. Sickness is result of the fall. So I think we could all agree that no sin in the world, no sickness. This does not mean, of course, that every time someone is sick, they've committed some particular sin. But what it does mean is that had not there not been original sin, there would have been no sickness. We see from Scripture that Jesus wept. Jesus went everywhere healing the sick. Satan will seek to lay all kinds of sickness and disease upon the human race. But I believe that it's God's desire that we be healed. Time does not permit us to study in depth, but there are many, many references to confirm God's intention and his desire to see his people healed. It's a couple of scriptures from Exodus 15, verse 26. And God said, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases on thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And James 5, verse 14, "Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Friends, I believe in divine healing, but I prefer divine health. I believe in divine healing, but I prefer divine health every day, asking the Lord for his touch on my body. God has provided not only for our spiritual needs, but also for our emotional and physical needs too. Nowhere in the New Testament is a person said to have the gift of healing. Most of the evangelists, pastors who have had great ministries of prayer for the sick have disclaimed possession of a gift of healing. Certainly no one has had a ministry of healing every sick person. What is certain is that God has made provision that physical healing would be a ministry of his church. My own particular view is that each and every one of us should take the opportunities afforded to us and pray for the sick. Don't just leave it to the pastors, the paid workers, but each one of us exercising faith and believing God to heal those we pray for. Let's read a few scriptures and see what they say to us. Matthew 14, verse 14, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." Matthew 20, "So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately they received sight, and they followed him." And then Mark 1, 41, "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed." You see, I believe firmly that it's the love of God which releases the power of God. You don't just pray for people to get healed as a first priority. First, you love people. Jesus was moved with compassion. The Lord has told us to go and do it. Let's be obedient in doing our part, and God will certainly do his part. Do I have all the answers as to why some people are healed and others are not? No, I don't. But I will continue to pray for the sick, always. Now we're going to move on to the next spiritual gift, which is working of miracles. The Greek word for miracle means either an explosion of mighty power or a release of divine energy. Also, the performance of something which is contrary to the law of nature. They're all miracles. So the working of miracles is a special gift of authority which enables us, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to intervene in the ordinary course of nature and to do something which could not be done naturally. A miracle is a divine intervention, something that cannot be explained by any law of nature. It's an event or action that apparently contradicts known scientific laws. In the New Testament, they are called signs and wonders and miracles. Literally, in the Greek, they are events of divine power. events that cause wonderment, and events that signify something about God and his workings. It's noteworthy that the term wonder is never used by itself. It's always used together with the word sign. Why should that be? Because God does not manifest his power just to cause wonderment. He's always signifying and teaching something with his miracles. Hebrews 2:4. God also bearing witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And Acts 2 verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by you, attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. I personally believe that the church is called to live in the miraculous, accomplishing the impossible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 19:11 says God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. And then Acts 5:15, so they brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. How wonderful, extraordinary miracles. So let's look at two or three different areas here. The realm of physical recovery, raising the dead, a miracle. Lazarus, the widow of Nain's son, Dorcas, Eutychus. Miracles in this modern age, Smith Wigglesworth, his book Ever-Increasing Faith, many wonderful, life-changing miracles. Then miracles of deliverance, the dividing of the Red Sea. Peter, miraculously delivered from prison. The three Hebrew boys from the fiery furnace. I personally believe that there are times in our daily lives when we have been and continue to be miraculously delivered, and we fail to see it, recognize it, or even thank God for his keeping power over our lives. And then miraculous provision. Our God is a God who miraculously provides. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Water from the rock at Horeb. Manna for the children of Israel in the wilderness. The widow's oil that never failed. The feeding of the 5,000, water into wine. We could go on with these miracles of provision. In a materialistic society in which we live, we are so well provided for that many of us don't need a miracle of provision. There is a danger that we become self-sufficient. Self-sufficient. How do we know God is a provider if we don't have a need? If you have a need, call out to the Lord. He is a miraculous provider. How sad it is, only when there is a great need do we seek God for a miracle. Then the miracles of nature. What a diversity of miracles of nature can we find in God's word. The mouth of lions stopped, Daniel. Balaam's ass that spoke. Paul shaking off the snake that had fastened to his hand. The instant transportation of Philip from Gaza to Azotus. The floating axe head in 2 Kings chapter 6. Jesus calming the storm. Peter walking on the water. Let's read couple of scriptures here from Acts chapter 4. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Acts 8 verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. This is not a gift that makes one a miracle worker. It's not for the man to be lifted up. It's for the work of the ministry, that we may speak with boldness of the grace of God. That the unsaved may sit up and take notice, that the Lord will be magnified. The book of Acts is an unfinished book. The work continues. I believe that the church is still active today to live in the miraculous, accomplishing the impossible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Every day can be a day of miracles for those who believe. Every day can be a day of miracles for those who believe. So let's continue this study by looking at the supernatural gift of faith. The gift of faith differs from saving faith and from what we might call normal Christian faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." All faith is alike in nature, but the gift of special faith differs from other faith in degree and application. We've just looked at the gifts in relation to healings and miracles, and the gift of special faith often works in conjunction with these gifts. I believe the gift of special faith is a supernatural manifestation by the Holy Spirit, supplying unnatural faith in a specific situation to achieve supernatural results. When this special wonder-working faith is manifested in your life, God supernaturally empties you of all doubt and fear. It's a wonderful quote here by Donald G. "It would seem to come upon certain of God's servants in time of special crisis or opportunity in such a mighty power that they are lifted right out of the realm of even natural or ordinary faith in God and have a divine certainty put within their souls that triumphs over everything." How wonderful. Here's a couple of scriptures from Acts 1 Kings 17. "And Elisha, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" And Acts 3, 6. "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" So these are times for believers in special opportunities and special circumstances. This gift of faith doesn't always necessarily see immediate results. It's a supernatural endowment by the Spirit to believe that that which is uttered by God will eventually come to pass. There are times in all our lives when we just know God is going to do it. We just know that we know that we're in his will and that he's working in our lives. We have his peace. We have that special faith. Just to know that you know that you're in God's hands. Just two points here. Firstly, it's not presumption. It's something that's deep inside, that's divinely imparted by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it doesn't mean that you are now a greater man or woman of faith. You've arrived. No, it doesn't mean that you'll never doubt again. Look at Ahab again here. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and also how he'd executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. Here is Elijah, mighty man of faith, worker of miracles, and he runs from a woman. If you want to see what God has wrought through men of faith, let me recommend to you Hudson Taylor, what the Lord did in China, and George Muller, his incredible life of faith in the orphanage in Bristol, England. Perhaps Jesus was describing this quality of faith when he said to his disciples, Mark 11, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes these things, he says, will be done. He will have whatever he asks. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.'" The Greek literally means have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. We see that Jesus suggested in these verses that with this divinely imparted faith, one might say to this mountain, "Be removed." Can I say that the mountain can symbolize any apparently impossible obstacle that arises in our lives, or something that hinders the mission of the church? I firmly believe that in all our lives, as we are walking in the Spirit, he can supply unlimited wonder-working faith for every season and every circumstance of life. Look at the Hebrew boys. They're about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 7. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I think this is a powerful witness. I love it. King Nebuchadnezzar, we believe our God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we'll still not bow down to your image. Sometimes God stills the storm, and sometimes he takes us through the storm. So we've looked at the power gifts. They supernaturally do something. Always remember, the best gift is the one you need at the time. Lord, give me the gift for the situation I'm in now. That should always be our prayer. God heals today, yes. God does the miraculous today, yes. God gives supernatural faith today, yes. The Bible clearly promises the Holy Spirit to believers, and he is the giver of every good and perfect gift, the giver of supernatural abilities for the benefit of church. These are not rewards for good behavior, nor signs of having reached a certain stage of holiness. They're grace gifts, tools to get the job done. They are the divine enabling, the divine equipping for the church in every age and every generation. The gifts of power are the vehicle God uses to channel his supernatural power through his church to destroy the works of the devil. Gifts of healing, working of miracles, special faith.
Thank you, Pastor Howard. That is a blessing, definitely. Now, this is the end of our episode. I hope you enjoyed it. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.